Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Okay, so Nate the Freight going McCaffrey. I like that on PPR sites.
I like that in every site.
Yeah, every site.
McCaffrey too. Should really be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think when we're thinking about picks by themselves, we should also be thinking about, especially with like the first pick, who we can get at the 2-3 turn. So I think there's a case for Kupp plus the running backs you get. You can get at 2-3 versus McCaffrey and the wide receivers you can get at 2-3. But of course, if McCaffrey's healthy, he's going to score 400 points. Steven says, I'd get banned from Underdog if they had a chat. I understand the sentiment. Davis goes with Eckler. Pretty chalk pick there. And after pick six, it's like the Wild West of who.
Yeah, you can take, you can literally, like, you can take whoever you want, I think.
Agreed with that. I won't be using the queue myself because I'm sharing my screen.
With your enemy, with the villain of the day.
With who's that? Bill,
me.
Bill's mop? Oh, you? Okay.
You and I. We're combating here. We're friends here.
Thanks, guys, for tuning into this. Hit the like button if you're enjoying it. Really don't know if likes or subscribes or comments helps my channel more.
They all help. They're all good for your channel.
They're all good. Okay, good to know. If you have questions and you're watching this on replay, ask them in the YouTube chat, and I will either answer them on stream on the next show, or I go back and I check those and answer them. I'm going to grab Kelsey here, and the reason is because basically it's like, okay, I'm not going to get the number one wide receiver. I'm not going to get the one number one running back, so rather than betting against these guys, it's just saying I got the number one tight end, and hopefully that allows me to separate more than them. And then I will grab Cook. There's enough murmurs that maybe they're going to be passing a little bit more there. We should like the offense more with their new head coach upgrade.
I love Dalvin. I would take Dalvin at 7, I think.
Matt asks, is Drafters full PPR still? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Full PPR, no like DK scoring bonuses or anything. Yeah, Dalvin's interesting. I don't have a ton, but I've been working to get a lot more, and I'm kind of happy his price has been falling a bit. The past 3 drafts I have done have been Kelsey Cook starts. So I like the start, and I kind of like to do that with my teams where just because I started Kelsey Cook in one draft does not mean I won't do the same exact thing and try to build it a little different. And I'm going to upload a long form video on my channel pretty soon here, revealing what worked for the Underdog finals. And something I remember looking at last year when I was in those is there was like 3 or 4 people with 3 lineups in the Underdog finals. And the only way that's possible is if they have a condensed player core.
Condensed core.
Yeah, and those players did well. So nothing unusual with the start. Julius going with the Diggs Samuel start. And yeah, I mean, for like 0 running back, I would definitely caution at stopping at a certain point. Davis got Andrews, Eckler, really like that start for him. So we both went running back, tight end. And we're basically both saying, hey, we got a top 1 or 2 tight end. And hopefully we got a top 5 running back. I don't think about half point PPR versus PPR too differently. I do.
Oh, you'd need to. I
do think about like who's going to score touchdowns pretty solely for Underdog.
Touchdowns are just super important. This full point PPR, honestly, it devalues the Derrick Henry, Najee, you know, grouping of guys, your Josh Jacobs. It really deads that tier of guys. You know, the Eli Mitchell is worse in that format.
I guess I would talk more for wide receivers. Like running back, you know, running back is what it is. But as far as like wide receivers, like if I think Gabe Davis is more of a half point PPR guy because he scores touchdowns, I still want him for PPR sites.
Oh, yeah. Well, and wide receiver production is less linear and more events based than running back stuff, you know?
Eric with the funny comment here talking about all these week 17 stacks that are fresh on my mind. Regarding stacks, I think something that's interesting for drafters is we still want correlation. We still want stacks. It's not essential, but something that you can do is you can stack in the division and you know you're going to get
a ton of
correlated games throughout the season. So if you take, you know, let's take one of the best divisions of football. If you take Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, and Raiders players, you know you're going to get 8 games potentially if they're not playing week 18 of stacked games. So division stacks, that's right. Well, let's talk about this. Matt said, Titans beat reporter just dropped Burks to be Titans wide receiver 3 this season. I do not care about these reports. You know, Burks, whatever. If he flops, he flops. But my hot take is with Burks suffering from this a little bit of conditioning problems is maybe the dude got COVID like half of the country and he's just, you know, I think athletes tend to think of themselves as invincible. So it's more likely an athlete is not vaccinated and maybe he's just suffering a little bit from some post COVID. There's no news on that. That's total speculation by me, but it would make sense. I just got recovered from COVID. I had some post COVID symptoms. It took me a little bit to get back in shape. But yeah, I'm not worried about Burks until it bleeds into the season. And we've seen this with like the fear in this time of the season. What's your takes on Burks?
I mean, it's like we literally just saw the Giga example of this last year with Ja'Marr Chase, where people were worried about it wasn't a health thing. It was like, what was it? He was having a bunch of drops and he looked bad in the preseason and people were not feeling the Ja'Marr Chase stuff, which seems which was terrible at the time, is terrible in retrospect, just truly 100% terrible. And I think the Burks thing is not the same because obviously Chase is like a greater greater tier of prospect. But yeah, I mean I'm just drafting a bunch of trail on Burks.
I'm real happy to get Chubb to fall to me here. Quite the discount on him. Anchors my running backs. And Chubb, while he may not be as good of a PPR site, if he has 6 spike weeks, great. That's all I need to keep me live for first. And I kind of like, I'm not sure if it's actually best to do this, but I kind of like try to fill out my starting roster when I'm drafting on drafters score the most points. So I try to kind of start the whole team and, you know, just like, so get my 3 wide receivers.
Dude, that is small brain thinking. What are you talking about? Are you being serious right now?
I do that sometimes. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, as long as I'm not like dropping a tier, but filling out your full roster, I get what you're saying. Where
you just went full lizard brain on me, dude.
Hey man, I take kind of a simplified approach sometimes. And you know, if the market's right on the cost and you're not, you know, reaching tiers here, I don't see why it would be bad. I'm not, you know, I don't do that for every team, but especially with me starting tight end and 2 running backs, I don't feel the need to force a running back in rounds 5 to 6. I would like to start hammering wide receivers for my team. You grab Pittman. How are you feeling about Pittman here? Because like it's where he's going, but it just doesn't feel great to me to be grabbing an old Matt Ryan's number one wide receiver. When
I mean, I definitely
lack of target competition.
I definitely do not love it. Like, I don't think it's like a great price or anything like that. Although he did like dominate the Colts receiving last year to a degree like we very rarely see. He had 1,082 receiving yards, No other player on the team had more than 384 receiving yards. So he's
going five picks after T. Higgins and A.J. Brown.
So that's the thing, is it's a huge tier break. So you don't feel good about Pittman as your wide receiver one. So I'm going to immediately disregard your advice of filling out the starting lineup. I'm going to be pounding wide receivers here in this mid range, kind of from honestly, from that Pittman range to Elijah Moore, who is like back end of the sixth round.
Well, you can do that. That's still filling out your roster. I mean, because you have one running back.
I'm gonna have to pass up on a quarterback probably though. So you're gonna be looking at it like, bro, you don't have your quarterback filled. How are you taking a wide receiver?
Oh, buddy, we have on drafters. We have some four quarterback teams. I have we're okay, and I think quarterback being the position you wait on makes sense. You know, you're unlikely to get buried by a quarterback separating from the field. You can even go volume at quarterback, and you know, you don't need to go volume at tight end. You have two great wide receivers to start, and you have anchor Eckler there. Nick says Matt Harmon has Pittman as an elite wide receiver one based on his reception perception. Yeah, I understand that, but it's just like, I try to take a top-down view of fantasy of like, how many yards do I think this offense is going to pass for? I do think Matt Ryan is going to be much better with the Colts with the O-line they have versus what Atlanta was trotting out. And I do, like, I have hope that Alec Pierce is going to be good for the Colts. I have hope that Paris Campbell's finally healthy and going to help some. But I don't know. It's just like this tier break from A.J. Brown, T. Higgins to Michael Pittman is a bit like, whoa, okay. And yeah, like Marquise Brown, if I only get spike weeks from him, I'm cool with it. Because his spike weeks are going to be massive.
Right.
I've seen some people worried about like, oh, well, what about when DeAndre Hopkins returns? Well, I'd point to that of a, what if DeAndre Hopkins returns and he's old and not, you know, like maybe he was taking PEDs because he's kind of getting up there and slowing down. I guess we should talk about Hopkins and Godwin.
These guys are like useless in this format. They should be going 30 picks later than they go in playoff formats.
Yeah, I'll take like one or two of them here or there, but I think there should be like right now they go pretty much where they go on underdog, and I think that's got to be wrong for optimal scoring the most points. Keep in mind, you have to finish first out of everyone in this contest. Nick says that Matt said Pittman's a combo of Keenan and Allen Robinson.
I don't think he's that good of a route runner. I would not give him that. I mean, he's pretty good.
I had like 25% Michael Pittman last year, but he was going in like the sixth, seventh round. Right. Okay, so I can do a lot of things here. I could grab Murray. I'm not stressing it though. I'm gonna grab Cooks and see what happens. Again, a spike week guy should have a massive target share in his offense. You went Judy buying the dip. You got the Sutton Judy combo, so you can grab Russell.
Yeah, I'm setting up the Giga stack, which I think is uniquely good for this format, because if the Broncos are the team that gains the most yards or scores the most points in the NFL, like that's just all flowing to these guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to reach like 95% optimal outcomes. Okay, so I could grab Murray here, and a lot of time I would, but we're gonna get a bit different and just grab Amon-Ra. He was on my winning team last year, but I'm going back to my point is I think super stacking teams is a great way to reach like 95 percentile outcomes, and I think it's possible that type of outcome is good enough to win the contest. But you know, it's probably not a good way to reach 99.9999 percentile outcomes, just because if Sutton is a smash, it kind of means Judy and Patrick and Hamler probably can't all be smashes if their cost is expensive.
They're not though, but Patrick and Hamler are free. And if one of those guys busts, that's all good for the rest of the guys.
Eric asks, was Amon-Ra on Liam's winning team last year? You are correct, sir. He's kind of like a poor man's Cooper Kupp.
I'm stuck here. I don't really know who I want to take here.
Yeah, you're kind of in a gross spot. I think I know what I would do in your shoes, but
I'm gonna take Eli Mitchell because he's the home run guy. Where if he gets all that work,
He's a guy I got to get more of. I have like so much tiering Davis Price, but I got to get more. But it's like, you know, there's a lot of seasons where he is like, I don't know, a top 10 running back. Or if not, he just like has a ton of like 25, 30 point games.
Yes. Yeah.
Joshua asks, are there too many weapons on the Broncos? I wouldn't view it that way, Joshua. And even if you think some of the ADPs are off on some of them
are going to bust.
Yeah, but like, who cares? Just don't take all of them then. Or again, we already said a zero doesn't kill your team. Like the winning team on Drafters last year in one of their contests had Michael Thomas, who literally did not play. Matt says Arizona also has 90% of their games in the dome this year. Just can't fade them. Yeah, we love the dome games. Best Ball's laughing at me. Poor man's Cooper Kupp. Hey, man, what we saw Monra do at that stretch of the season to end, we've not seen a lot of people do that. I think it also, like, I saw some sharp posts about the Lions the other day where I can't remember who wrote this, but basically where like Amon-Ra's good games coincided with Cooper, Jared Goff coming back from like some minor injury he had.
Weren't Swift and Hawkinson banged up and out too?
That's true. But at the same time, it also was when Anthony Lynn was fired as a play caller. And so Anthony Lynn was just like a terrible offensive coordinator, in my opinion.
Right.
And like he was running the show early in the season. So I think there's some optimism. I made a tweet the other day where I pointed out that if you squint hard enough, I think this year's Lions roster looks a lot like that 2018 Rams Super Bowl.
I mean, people are hip to this take. This is a take that is out there in the ether. People are not, obviously not everyone, but some people are quite in on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and it's another case where like a lot of guys are expensive and the quarterback is cheap. So yes, maybe it's either Amon-Ra or Hawkinson. But who cares? Take some of them. They don't all need to smash. And Goff is fine being cheap. He's a pocket guy, you know. Who did you go? So you got Burks. You got the dropping Burks. I like that for your team. You got your starting team, including your flex filled, except for your quarterback, which is how I like to build my teams too. And I'm kind of in a gross spot for
you
my
sure are.
Team. Man, Pollard's getting expensive.
Yeah, Pollard is pricey. I noticed that a couple of the sites did like a ADP refresh over the last week, and Pollard is a guy who has gone way up. I like taking Ayuk there. I mean, late round seven, Ayuk is just a really good pick.
Yeah, I was hoping to get Lance with him, but this guy double tapped quarterback, which I'll talk about in a second there. It's cool I don't get him. I'm not going to force one of these other quarterbacks. I think I'm going to go. Screw it. I don't think I have any Pollard on Drafters, so we'll grab Pollard and feel real good about my starting running backs. Ton of upside there. Talking about what was inverted is here is this is what I was talking about. I would caution against double tapping elite quarterback. I just think you're drawing real thin where you're making a bet.
It makes no sense in a cumulative scoring format to me.
Yeah, it's just you're going to need to find a league winner in these later rounds where I'm taking my quarterbacks to
or just have a team that gets really lucky with the distribution of the scores of the cheaper quarterback.
Sure. You're betting that no separator at running back, wide receiver, or tight end emerges from the seventh or eighth rounds, which seems like a thin bet to me. So I like to do max. Early on, I was just kind of like, I had some Josh Allen Brady teams. I had some Murray Burrow teams. I had whatever. But then I dived into the data and I thought about it. And I'm just not sure about that strategy working. So I would have grabbed one or the other, probably Prescott for him. And then, you know, like a press, like in his shoes, maybe I go Prescott Pollard. And then I have this Prescott Pollard Schultz stack where it's okay to grab negatively correlated pieces within a team if they're, you know, like.
And damn, I'm cooked here, dude. I missed on my quarterbacks.
Oh wow, someone snagged Russell just to do it to you.
Shit. Yeah. I'm going to take Devin Singletary.
What happened there?
Oh, I didn't click it. I didn't click it in time.
No, but you didn't not only click it, you had, oh,
he was in my queue. He was in my queue.
I never do that. I know a lot of people throw some people in the queue for later, but this is the risk of doing that is you get Matt Ryan way above ADP. Small positive, where you're going to have a different team, which I wanted to talk to you.
It's not good.
Let's get your reaction first on Matt Ryan before we move on. Matt Ryan, round 8, flag planting, MVP season. What's the case?
What is the case?
You just got to double down now. Just pretend it was on purpose.
I think the case is that they play all those dome games and I have Michael Pittman. I mean, that's it, really. Obviously, like I just got. I got to take Nyheim Hines now, so everyone be ready for that. I got to take Nyheim Hines way ahead of ADP because the only way that works is if what's his name? If Jonathan Taylor gets hurt.
Honestly, I don't like it. Doesn't feel good, but I don't think you're dead to win it all. But you just need to.
No, you just have to hit on every other pick.
Well, in your shoes, I don't exactly want to help you, but here's what I would do: is I would consciously wait on my quarterback too. Because you kind of do need Matt Ryan to average 20 points per game, which is about what Stafford did last
big
year.
Big time.
At least Davis isn't getting sniped on Matty Ice, bullish Matty Ice. Oh my God, rip. Yeah. I personally never.
Well, I just really had to fill out my starting lineup.
I took your advice to heart.
I just really had to fill it out.
You were trying to throw off the competition by saying that was a fish strategy, and you have 20 seconds on the clock, and you went Damien Harris. I like the pick. So you're going with the no PPR running backs with Mitchell and Harris, but hey, and they're, I mean, we saw they're like 90 percentile.
I mean, I don't even really like Damien Harris. I take him when he falls after ADP because I draft so much Ramondre Stevenson ahead of ADP that I need to, and I guess that's kind of playing it like a nit, but I take so much Ramondre ahead of ADP that it feels that I need to get exposure to Damien Harris when he's at like, what was he, 10 spots after ADP there. But like you just have to capitalize on those situations.
Yeah. And I think that's smart for your portfolio to approach it that way. And also like, you know, I like Ramondre. And I like, but people are just giving up on Damien Harris a year early, which if the Patriots are not that good, it makes a lot of sense for them to run Damien Harris into the ground on his last year contract, save a little tread on the tire for their other guys. And I mean, we saw the dude score something crazy, like 16, 17 touchdowns last year. I don't think he's just going to be inactive on the team. You know, Ramondre misses a pass block. He's the guy. What is Hines ADP on Drafters versus Underdog PPR machine? I'll check that out in a bit here. Okay. So again, it gets kind of thin at some of these positions here.
Yeah, it really does.
You just don't feel great about like some of these picks.
I think there's a huge tier break like round 6, 7. And then I think there's another huge tier break for me. Kind of after the Damien Harris, Cordarrelle Patterson range.
I was inverted. It was confident in his picks. He went Galladay, Walker. I went Carr, so I'm going to have no Las Vegas stacks, but all his pieces are expensive. So yes. I like that at least. Again, it's not essential you stack it up. Man, like wide receiver is pretty dead after
it's
this.
So dead, yeah.
I'm going to grab Woods and just make the bet that he's the one there. Do you think he start like I've been approaching it that Woods is going to start the season. He looks good in those videos we're seeing of him, but what's your take? I saw there was some leaning that he may be slammed with the 4-game PUP designation.
No, cuz he was already back at minicamp, so he should be good to go. And you know, it's kind of funny. Like people are remembering Robert Woods as like performing poorly last season or whatever, but he was the wide receiver 12 when he tore his ACL. He had gone 45 catches, 550 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown as well when he had gotten hurt. So it's not like he was totally dead. It's just, I mean, it is kind of a hard sell. 30-year-old wide receiver coming off of a torn ACL.
X-Bill
into an offense where he probably has a quarterback downgrade. Like, it's just not great.
Yeah, no, 100% getting the quarterback downgrade. That's the thing. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, like Mike Vrabel is like a hard ass. I could see him just being done with Burks if he gives him any bit of like asthma conditioning shit. And, you know, the thing about like why I went Woods over Tyler Boyd there, who I also like, is Woods is drawing live to be his offense's pass catcher one. Boyd is almost always the pass catcher three in a better offense. And I wouldn't always go Woods over Boyd, but that's how I viewed it. I like Davis went for Gronk, who I also was considering there. And so
I felt like I had to take Gronk because I have to hit on, I'm like having to hit on guys who are going to beat ADP by like six rounds right now. And if Gronk, like, let's say we get done with this draft and we read the tweet that Gronk has re-signed, you know, an $8 million 1 year deal with the Buccaneers, he immediately is going ahead of like, I think he probably goes ahead of Dalton Schultz. I think he's probably the tight end six.
I think he goes in like the six, seven. Like, yeah, I mean, I would take him over. So in this draft, I would take him probably right around Schultz is where I feel like he would settle. Just because, like, even if we know he's signing back, there's questions about like how much will they use him in the regular season. I mean, Cameron Brate is 30, so it's not exactly like he's young himself.
I mean, and Cameron Brate is like useless.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw some stat that he had like a ton of red zone targets last year, but he didn't score a lot of touchdowns. So, but yeah, I like what you said for your team. With you taking Matt Ryan, you feel like you need to hit some guys who are going to be worth a lot more than their ADP. And Gronk is a real low floor, real high ceiling type guy. Who's hosting who? In other words, who is paying who $12.50? Thanks, Bert, for the question. Giving me some shit for my question.
See, I took that the other way. You know, Pete said that was out of form for you. I took that the other way. I was like, Liam's a real gambler. You know, so he doesn't want any question of splitting equity or exactly. Who owes money who. Like, I took that as like a person who is experienced in the world of gambling and doesn't want any questions on who owes who money.
Well, that's really the thing, is like, not to call it a nightmare to draft a winner on stream, but like, God forbid you do that and then no money exchange hands, and it's this ambiguous situation where you're counting on someone's goodwill to be like, yeah, man, sure, you can have $1 million.
Yeah, you can have $500,000. It's all good. Like, we're straight.
You
know,
I like to make the line real clear in the sand. You are getting 50% equity, or I will have 100%. First says Davis, smart man. You're welcome in the group chat. I have a group chat with my boys from home. But yeah, I mean, everyone sent me it. Everyone gave me shit, obviously, but except for Spags. Spags is like, no. And I said, Spags, I'm happy to give you the 50%. A bit out of pocket for me to ask, but honestly, like, if someone asked me, I would view it the same way. Like, okay, we have a clear line in the sand that this is a 50-50 draft. Joshua says Bray is good for 1-1-1.
That target, is correct.
One catch, one touchdown. You're not wrong. You're not wrong there. Man, it is getting ugly in these streets at every position. I think there's a
clear pick on the board.
I'm grabbing Tim Patrick.
That is not who I would have taken.
Definitely not grabbing Daniel Jones with my team, if that's who you're talking about. And maybe you're talking about Gallup, but I'm not grabbing
that. Dude.
Rojo fits the squad.
There are two running backs who are just like stone smashes for you, and you just passed on them.
Well, I think all three make sense. White has the highest ceiling, I feel. I have a lot of him at a cheaper price, though. So
yeah, but that doesn't matter.
We'll go White. The other thing I want to point out real quick before we get your comment on that is, we want to be mindful of our bye weeks with drafters more so than underdog. And yes, I'm noticing I have a bunch of guys with week six byes and week nine byes. So something to keep in the back of the mind as the draft is going on. Who were you leaning there for me? Were you leaning our guy
Rojo? Rashad White or Rojo? You should have smashed the button on either one of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, but with Carter, Rojo, and White being there, I didn't feel a need to take one here, and I do like Patrick. I do like Patrick, even though like I know everyone likes Hamler. I like Hamler too, but I don't know. The dude scored like 5 touchdowns with, you know, he got a huge contract.
No, Patrick is fine. You just like I would have double tapped Ronald Jones and Rashad White if I had your team, I think.
Maybe with me making the bet on Pollard, Chubb, and Cook, I wanted to get one more wide receiver because the 13th, 14th guys versus like Patrick, Jarvis Landry here a lot. I don't know. I just have a little bit more optimism about that combo. So we should be thinking about 2 for 2s. Let's see what you did. You went Hines in the 11th. I like it. I have a ton of Hines, but it was coming. Like he used to be going in like 16th, 17th on all the sites. Now he's more appropriate around Henderson. Makes sense for your team. And you want Corey Davis. Is that just like how do you feel about Corey Davis?
I do think he is too cheap, but I wanted to set up the backdoor here for Zach Wilson so that I can get my double. But I mean, there is a multiverse out there where Corey Davis scores the most touchdowns of the 3 very talented Jets wide receivers.
100%. Let's see. We got some questions here. Full season scoring. That's right. Joshua asks, I've never drafted on drafters. Why is bye week more of a concern over here? It's because the winner is just who scores the most points. So if you take a 0 because you have a bunch of buys, that's not
or good. even if the threshold of making your lineup is lower 1 week. So like let's say for example, even if they're not overlapping positions and you still have a running back score, you're giving yourself less bites at the apple in a certain week. Like if you have 6 players who are all on bye in week 8, you're probably not going to generate nearly as many points in week 8. You want a pretty good distribution of those.
Yeah, I think something else for drafters that we should keep in mind is if there is a player out there who's going to have these 40, 50 point weeks that we've seen, like last year we saw, it was in the playoffs, but we saw Gabe Davis do it. We saw Jamar Chase do it in the regular season. We saw Jonathan Taylor do it in the regular season, these like 50 point weeks. So if a player's going to have these outlier weeks, I think we're almost assuredly going to need them on our team, even if they don't have a great rest of the season, just because chucking in that 50 points one of your weeks is
it carries over. Yeah.
So you went Zach Wilson in the 13th. I don't think there's a problem taking a quarterback in the 13th versus the 16th.
I mean, it's not. I don't think it is GTO per se. Like I don't think that's a bad pick or a great pick either way. But I am an absolute stone cold whore for stacking, and I also think the Jets are actually very similar to the Giants, and that they could be one of these teams that giga stacking just gets you so paid because they can beat their ADP by so much.
I'm going to go Irv Smith here and probably be done at tight end, making a bet on the Vikings offense, a bit of a negative correlation with Cook where I'm just hoping to capture a lot of the touchdowns for the Vikings offense. And I think, you know, like their offense is always under-repped a little bit. Will Fuller, super high upside guy. The running backs are pretty dry after this. Looking at my full team here. Quarterback, I'm going to wait. I'm going to push it. He's like way more expensive on this site than every other site, but screw it. We're going down with the ship. Another Will Fuller 0 on my team potentially, but I love it.
Interesting.
Connor says, not going to lie, the Drafters app is looking pretty slick. Yeah, I usually go running back there, but I like it. You know, like if he signs with the Packers, which seems like I ran a Twitter poll. The Packers was the most suggested location. The other thing that just seems really poetic is Will Fuller's one last rug of the fantasy community is just retiring and giving everyone a 0 who's been drafting him.
So funny. So funny. Yeah.
Like such a poetic end. But even if that happens, like some guy gets hurt week 4 for the Bucks, they're going to call up Will Fuller, right? You know, they're not going to trot out, you know, whoever.
Correct. Yeah. I took Alec Pierce, you know, because we gotta pay off. We gotta pay. So the week 14 bye.
Why would we care about that for drafters?
It doesn't matter. So there was this thing last year in the FFPC where the playoffs started when there were bye weeks, so you'd have to worry about that. But no, I don't sweat it, and I also don't sweat it in that format either.
I got a dude in the chat trying to slide into my DMs, dude. I'm not reaching out to you. I already said I would book the action. About Mariota versus Fields.
You have Mariota over Fields?
I should be getting some like market discount for it, but I don't care. It's the Mariota plus Ritter combo fantasy points versus Fields, where I know Fields is the favorite. I don't care. Yes, the offense is going to be so much better than what he was in last year, but it's basically just that offensive weapons matter, and what Atlanta's trotting out on the field to catch passes is way better than what the Bears trot out, unless Will Fuller signs with Chicago, which is a dark horse location too.
Yeah, that's legit.
It was like Cordarrelle Patterson, we want him being like the third wide receiver, right? Like Cordarrelle Patterson slot wide out, sign me up. Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way, another guy that we like a bit more on drafters, because who cares if he gets hurt week 8? So you went Alec Pierce. I love Alec Pierce. Just an athletic freak. And yeah, I think Matt Ryan.
Totally my profile of guy that I like.
Raheem Mostert in the 15th. He's a high upside guy. He's not a guy I have a ton of, though. Is it just the bet against Chase Edmonds being the bell cow?
No, I just think it's a backfield where you should draft all three guys. I mean, one of the things we know about fantasy is you should really
all
target.
Four, dude. Don't forget Miles Gaskin.
I don't think he's going to make the team. He is my bet to be the odd
him
man
getting
out.
Cut is probably great for his fantasy profile. If he signs with like the Rams or something as like a...
I can see that. I can see that being true. But point being... that offense should actually be quite good, right? Like, I don't think we expect the Dolphins to be bad on offense, and so I think we want to take some shots on all their running backs, and Mostert and Michelle are the cheapest. And by the way, in this format, we haven't talked about this yet. I think drafting running backs on the same team when they're both cheap, like both like let's say 12th round or later, I actually think is fine, because if those guys combine for 180 points of spike weeks or something, they probably paid off for you.
So I'm going to take Tannehill, but with inverted drafting Lance and Prescott, he's tanking his team to take him. So I can take whoever I want. That is not him. And so
I was going to take Tannehill. You're doing the
I'm
going to
go with Curtis Samuel. Honestly, Walken, Samuel, Hamler, I like them all. I know people are a little bit more down on Samuel. He's got more target competition, but he gave us like a 176 half point PPR points 2 years ago. Yes, CMC went down, but I like it. And I waited on my quarterback too, and I really, okay, so I'm going to have to get a third quarterback with me having 2 weeks, 6 buys, whatever. We'll get a guy in the 20th round probably. Willis says Paul take Tandy for the bit. That would have been funny. But with Carr, I'm gonna have no Las Vegas pass catchers. Maybe I'll grab one of the running backs late.
You gotta take Kenyon Drake and Foster Moreau.
Yeah, I could do that, but I don't feel the need to force it. It's just kind of like with me having an unstacked Carr, the bet is that Adams, Waller, and Renfro all do good, but none of them have like a bunch of 40 point weeks, so they're not a needed stack partner. It's just hopefully they have a bunch of 20 point PPR weeks. They're not burying me. Carr's doing good, and I have other pieces. Connor pointed out that Gaskin is on a 7th round rookie contract. No way he gets cut. Yeah, I don't know. With the new coaching staff, I think they can do whatever they want. DeMarcus Robinson, I'm not doing it. Davis is on the clock here. I don't know if he's planning to roll with two or three quarterbacks with
Matt Ryan. I will probably take a third of both with this team because of what
tight end two?
Yeah. One, because I feel very good about this running back grouping of, I honestly, even just the four of them, Eckler, Eli Mitchell, Damian Harris, Nyheim Hines, I think I'm going to get a good distribution of points there. This honestly is not a very good team, obviously, because I drafted Matt Ryan like 90 spots ahead of ADP. This is also like a, I kind of just let the room dictate who I took. Like a lot of these guys on my team, I don't have strong player takes on any of them. Actually, the only strong player take guy I took was Burks. That was it. The rest of them, I just kind of took them because they were the right structure pick.
Yeah. And with you having Judy and Sutton and not having Wilson,
yeah,
I'm always of the philosophy that the quarterback is the least important,
part. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just saying the Broncos offense is going to be good, which is a smart, logical bet. How do you feel? You know, there's a lot of talk on playoff fantasy sites, best ball sites such as Underdog and DraftKings about getting different at the top of draft. I do think
I don't care at all.
Yeah, probably not, but I still do think it makes some sense on a site like Drafters, where if you're the only person out there that has a whatever, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill.
You know, and the uniqueness actually, like the odds of your construction or team being unique in a 55,000 entry tournament are a lot more than in the 400,000 person tournament or 800,000 on DraftKings or whatever.
I agreed with that take, but at the same time, you're still probably competing. You know, how many people do we think have Eckler, Andrews, Pittman starts? Probably, you know,
a lot,
a couple hundred. Versus how many people do I think have a
Aaron people?
Jones, Andrews, Pittman start? You know, not and but you have to be conscious of who is a price riser and faller. So if you took, you know, like Mike Williams is a guy you used to be able to get cheap. So he's not a guy you want to take when you're getting different.
Yeah, but how many people did it with an eighth round Matt Ryan?
And a round 17 Mo Alley Cox. I'm not is it just because he's the veteran there? I'm just not even sure if he's the tight end one there.
Why wouldn't he be?
They drafted Jelani Woods, who is
rookie tight ends never play. It's the same thing I've told Corain about.
Same with Freiermuth last year, right? Rookie tight ends never play. It's Eric Ebron's show.
Which was what it was to start the year, and then Ebron got hurt.
Let's see here.
I'm also much less price sensitive when we are getting to the 17th round. Like one good Roto World blurb on Mo Alley Cox.
Auto-draft here. All right, we auto drafted James White. That was my fault. By the way, guys, if you miss a pick on Drafters, you go on auto right away. So just make sure to turn that off.
Unclick the button. Yeah.
So not the ideal running back for this format. But whatever, he plays running back. And I'm going to grab Mariota. The ideal for this team is either Mariota starts the whole year or he at least starts week 6 for my team. And I feel strong enough at wide receiver that I probably, you know, even if Robinson's a zero, don't be a Cox block, Liam. That's fine. Yeah, Kyle Granson, too, is the other thing I wanted to bring up with the Colts, because they drafted him last year in, like, the third or fourth.
Yeah, I think that makes my point, right? Which is that they've drafted all these dudes to try and fill Mo Alley Cox's shoes, and they won't. Like, and Mo Alley Cox himself didn't play forever, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I want Mo Alley Cox to be a thing. Dude's big, has a fun name. I'm just letting it kind of play out there, and you know, whatever. That's maybe I'm being a little risk averse there, and I should revisit that. But I just don't like the one blurb I saw on it is like Jelani Woods moves much better than Cox, but has bad hands, and Mo Alley Cox has good hands.
I mean, just what I'm telling you is, unless Jelani Woods is like extremely, extremely, extremely good, he's not going to get on the field right away because he's going to make like 900 mistakes in preseason and in training camp.
Yeah, I think he just has like a perfect 10 RAS profile, and I just can't help.
I have him in all my dynasty leagues. I spent like third round rookie picks on him.
Hey, I love it. And yeah, I mean, like, I like what the Colts have done here. Are they just going to rotate through the veterans? Just, you know, everyone on their way out of the league, come stop by the Colts. We'll get Tom Brady in 5 years on his last year with the Colts. We'll get Aaron Rodgers 1 year. You know, they got Phillip Rivers. They got Matt Ryan now. Willis. Yes, I did know he played basketball. Weird thinking how much draft capital Indy is investing to replace Jack Doyle. Yeah, I mean, Jack Doyle being a thing for so long. Like,
yeah, I mean, they needed that guy, though.
I remember the FFPC playoff challenge 2 years ago where Jack Doyle gave us like a 25-point week against Buffalo, and he was like 0.1% owned. Matty Ice likes his larger tight end. Yeah, but everyone's a large tight end on the Colts. It's not like Johnny Woods is a small dude.
That's a great point. That is a very good point.
Does this Deshaun Watson news today affect the length of his suspension? Neither Davis or I are lawyers. The news, if people are wondering, is that
people were immediately responding to me because I kind of thought maybe he wouldn't, but people were immediately responding and saying, actually, it probably just means that they can get started on the suspension now because they're not waiting on any new information.
Well, you still got 4 more civil cases. Yeah, so the news for anyone that's wondering is I believe he settled on 20 out of 24 civil cases. So
correct.
Davis, by the way, after saying he's not a fan of getting different in the draft, is getting real different here, taking Ridder in the 18th, taking Mo Alie-Cox, so a couple guys that usually go late. And, you know, I like it for his team. He's got Odell.
But I think at this point in the – oh, shit, hold on. I got to pick.
2-1. Berrios.
So like I just am I and people could argue about this or whatever. I'm just not differentiating cost that much between a round 17 and a round 20 pick. I'm just taking guys that I think fit overall what I need, and I needed to add some ceiling here at quarterback with Wilson and Ryan, because a huge chunk of the time those guys are going to be between 16 and a half and 19 and a half fantasy points on a given week, probably. But if Ridder runs,
that's what we want from Zach Wilson. I mean, like, we saw the 12-point weeks last year,
right? So I needed to add any guy who could run.
We'll grab McKenzie. Got to get a Bills guy in every draft, and it's the bet that he either is not dead in the slot slash splits it with Crowder slash just has spike weeks. And we saw the spike weeks. There's a little rumbling that he would play against man coverage and Crowder would play against zone, which makes logical sense to me. And then I'm not going to grab another tight end. I'm going to grab a running back. And I'm going to grab a guy that's not always drafted, trying to get a little bit different. There's been a little bit of buzz about him. He had some big weeks last year, Dontrell Hilliard. I have a ton of Haskins, the rookie, for the Titans. And I mean, we saw this dude catch a ton of balls last year. So I finished out with a Carr, Tannehill, Mariota quarterback. You know, Tannehill and Mariota give me a bit of a rushing floor. Carr is hopefully my every week guy. I got a nice mix of running backs with Cook and Chubb anchoring the squad, and then some high upside dudes and James Robinson for hopefully later in the season. I like my wide receivers with a mix of PPR guys and some high upside dudes. Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, Amon-Ra, Brandon Ayuk, Robert Woods, Tim Patrick, Will Fuller, Curtis Samuel, Isaiah McKenzie. And then Kelce and Smith, I'm hoping to be smashes at tight end, or at least Kelce is. So I like my squad. I think it's live for first. I'm not thin at any position. And yeah, let's see how Davis finishes his team before we run through his squad there. So he finishes with Mark Ingram. I think that's a good pick.
Pretty good 20th round pick. I mean, he might what does he have to do to pay off a 20th round pick? Like, just to be worth a roster spot, start 3 games probably.
Yeah, I mean, and Kamara could get suspended, so we'll let this draft finish before I look at Davis's team. It kind of moves me as the draft picks happen, but he went with a Matt Ryan, Zach Wilson, Ridder combo. I'd say you're a bit weaker at quarterback than me, but they're pretty comparable. Eckler, Mitchell, Harris, Hines, Mostert, Ingram. I like your running backs. Pretty similar squads for us both. And then you got at tight end, you got 2 really strong guys and maybe a great bet that correlates with your team, where you got Mark Andrews, Gronk, and Mo Alie-Cox. Wide receiver, You went with your glue guys, Pittman, Sutton, Judy, and then some high upside dudes, Bucks, Burks, Davis, Alec Pierce, Odell. So a ton of super stacks on the Colts, which, you know, the Colts probably win that division most of the time. Makes a lot of sense to me. But okay, this draft finished. Davis, how do you feel about your squad? What are you seeing in these drafter streets? Let's say a couple more things before we say.
I mean, I do think like there were the draft was not easy. These dudes are mostly pretty good. I love that Nate started with CMC and then just pissed yellow. I love the piss boy there. We got a couple of zero RB drafters in here, which I am realizing I did not account for enough. So it looks like Updog. Who is really grinding these streets. He did the zero RB start. We had another piss boy start with Julius Winston, who started Diggs Samuel. So I should have accounted for that a little bit more. I think my this is just not a very good team. And
would you have skipped out on Mitchell maybe to account for another wide receiver?
Yes, I would have skipped. Because I had Eckler, I had my anchor. I would have taken a Devonta Smith or whatever.
Yeah, there. but you don't feel great about going Smith and London in the sixth when they're usually.
No, I feel fine. I feel fine with that in the context of the draft.
Yeah, and like reviewing what Updog did here and like Nate the Freight, like so they went three wide receivers and then you could see he had his fifth running back by the 12th round. So he's not overgoing zero running back, right? He's counting on these guys and then he's getting his running backs. Same with Nate the Freight. Running back, all these wide receivers, and then a bunch of running backs in the next rounds. So kind of like the opposite of what I did, where I went tight end, running back, a bunch of wide receivers, right? So like the inverse of what's going on there, I was inverted kind of on the same idea as me. Not my favorite team I've ever built. I don't have a stack for Carr. Not ideal, but doesn't mean I'm dead. Some individual player takes upside, you know, like Pollard could smash, Fuller could smash, Patrick could smash. I feel pretty good about
it. Which is what this format actually is kind of built for and rewards is player takes.
Yes. And you know I'm not shy to have a player take, hashtag Gabe Davis. So guys, before we get out of here, Davis, thanks so much for coming on. I believe the plan is for us to get a weekly or so draft where we'll be drafting here. Davis is going to upload the audio. I'm going to Vegas on Thursday for the World Series of Poker. You're not allowed to draft in Vegas. So what we might do is Davis and I might split a drafters and he'll share my screen with me and I'll share that screen with the stream and it will just be one of us drafting. Thanks guys for jumping in today. Davis, what do you guys tell the people before we sign off for today?
Just thanks for drafting guys. We're probably going to do these on Thursday. So clear your schedule, be ready for it. And, if you're going to fill your queue with a guy who's 100 spots ahead of ADP, then you gotta have Peter Overzet-esque nimble fingers.
And guys, you can use either mine or Davis's promo code, either Chesliam or Davis. Please hit that subscribe button if you have not yet. And have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.